2 weeks ago, on August the 18th, in the nation of Iceland, there was a funeral. About 100 people gathered for this funeral, including the Icelandic prime minister and other foreign dignitaries, and they gathered to commemorate the loss of Okyukulk. That's an Icelandic word. Okyukulk is not a person. Okyukulk is a glacier, and that glacier is gone. In 1901, Okyukulk, and in Icelandic, Jukulk means glacier. Ok is the name of this glacier. In 1901, this glacier covered 15 square miles. That's how big it was. By 1945, the glacier had shrunk down to just 1 mile. In 2005, the glacier was mostly gone, melted away, a victim of Earth's rising temperatures. And then 5 years ago, in 2014, Okyukulk officially was stripped of its status as a glacier. And this decision was made by a glaciologist at the Icelandic Meteorological Office. This scientist went up and examined the glacier and determined that the glacier was no longer moving. It was no longer thick enough to stay alive. Now, what differentiates a glacier from, say, an ice rink is that with a glacier, the snow and the ice build up until the accumulation becomes so thick that its mass alone forces it to flow downhill, like a slow river. Yes, the ice itself flows. And a glacier, on average, will flow about 10 inches a day. Depends on how steep the hill is that the glacier's on. But this glacier, Okyukulk, no longer flowed. It had become what they call dead ice. Now, Iceland is known as the land of fire and ice because of its volcanoes and glaciers. There are approximately 130 volcanoes on the island, and 400 glaciers cover approximately 11% of the land. But because of climate change, scientists predict that these glaciers, all of them, will disappear completely within 200 years. Scientists also predict that melting glaciers around the world will bring dire consequences to humans, affecting our food supplies, causing sea levels to rise, and displacing billions of people. Glaciers are the largest reserve of fresh water on our planet. Scientifically, they have great value because they hold within them a frozen record of our atmosphere, going back hundreds and sometimes thousands of years. The history of our global climate is located within this ancient ice. According to a recent study, since 1850, the European Alps have lost 54% of their ice area. In Bolivia, glaciers have lost nearly half of their mass in the past 50 years. Glaciers in the Himalayas, as well as up in Canada, are also quickly losing ice. Up in Montana, at Glacier National Park, all the glaciers are shrinking noticeably. At the funeral for the Ok Glacier, the mourners affixed a bronze plaque at the site. And the plaque reads, "Ok is the first Icelandic glacier to lose its status as a glacier. In the next 200 years, all our glaciers are expected to follow the same path." And this monument, it says, this monument acknowledges that we know what is happening and what needs to be done. The final line of the plaque addresses the people of the future, those who will come along and read that plaque. And it says, "Only you know if we did." Our reading for today from the prophet Jeremiah is also a plaque of sorts, and it's not unlike the one marking the site of the Oak Glacier. Like that plaque, Jeremiah publicly articulates the sins of his people while also addressing future generations. Jeremiah was an influential prophet in Judah, beginning in the year 626 BC, which was about 30 years before the Babylonian invasion. The first chapter of the book of Jeremiah primarily tells the story of Jeremiah's answering God's call to ministry. Then in chapter 2, which we read today, Jeremiah delivers his prophecy saying, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." And then God's word starts with questions that God has to God's people. God wants to know what has happened to the relationship between God and the people. God asks, "What wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me? What did I do that would cause them to run from me like that? Why did they seek out worthless things and become worthless themselves in the process?" God's people had rejected God, and instead they turned to worthless idols and things that are not God. And God wants to know why the people abandoned him, pursuing riches that only God could provide them. Imagine this. Imagine you've got an account at a certain bank. And this bank is unusual in that it gives you money whenever you ask. Not money out of your account, not a loan. They just hand you cash. I know my bank doesn't do that, but that's what they do. But for some reason, you decide to abandon that bank, the bank that gives you the money that you want. You decide that you're going to obtain your money another way. So you decide that you're going to go out and rob homeless people. You know, people who have no money. What sense does that make? It doesn't. Just as chasing idols and abandoning God makes no sense. Trying to get something that you want from the wrong place makes no sense. God points out that the people, as they do this, they don't even stop to ask or to inquire about God. They just left. They didn't ask, "Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord who led us safely out of Egypt and through the dangers of the wilderness?" If they had asked, they would have known that God was still there. And God wants to know why they don't remember what God has done for them in the past. Why they don't remember how God delivered them into a wonderful land full of food and good things. How God took them out of slavery in Egypt across the wilderness. And when the people finally did arrive in that land of promise, did they revere and respect the land as God's land? No. They defiled that place. They desecrated God's memory. That was their sin. And it wasn't just the people. It was their leaders and their priests as well. They all did the same thing. The rulers sinned against God. The prophets urged the people to worship Baal and other gods. Everyone, it seems, had forgotten the Lord and all that God had done for them. And God accuses the people of trading in the glory they received from God for something else, for something that does not profit. God is the fountain of living water. But the people chose not to drink from this fountain. Instead, they chose to store their own water in cisterns leaky cisterns in the ground. This is God's complaint and accusation that the people who had everything, who only needed to ask, chose to turn away in favor of something of lesser value. Back up in Iceland, the death of that glacier invites us to consider what we, the inhabitants of this holy creation, have forsaken in pursuit of lesser things. What have we given up in this decision? The earth is God's glory. And at creation itself, God declared this to be good. And yet, we have defiled the land. We have defiled that which is good. We pump carbon into the atmosphere. We're torching the rainforest as we speak. We're trashing the oceans and injecting poison into the groundwater. And why do we do these things? For profit. But what kind of profit is it if we lose the only place that we have to live? God gave us a plentiful land full of fruits and good things, but we defile it. And we never stopped to even consider God. We just turned away. We sin and we pursue lesser gods. We traded in God's glory for something that's cheap and plastic. For the people up in Iceland, that ice that covers their land is actually part of their cultural heritage. The sagas that they have that go back to the 13th and 14th century include mention of the Ok Glacier. It's part of the story of their land. But as these glaciers recede, they are witnessing their heritage inching towards its own watery grave. In the book of Jeremiah, God says about the promised land, God says, when you entered, you defiled my land, and you made my heritage an abomination. As these glaciers melt, the heritage of the Icelandic people is being made an abomination. In Scripture, the term living water refers to water that moves. It is flowing. It is alive. And living water is generally going to be cleaner than the water that you might find in a stagnant pond or the ditch near my house, or even worse, in a hole dug in a ground that collects rainwater and everything else. If you had a choice, would you rather drink out of a fast-moving mountain stream or from a brown, fetid bog? And yet God weeps over the choices the people have made, choices that include rejecting the living water and choosing bog water over God water. The nation of Iceland, ironically, is a leader in the global environmental movement. It is the only country in the world that obtains 100% of its electricity and heat from renewable sources. Yet sadly, the Icelandic people with their dying glaciers must witness directly the choices the world has made. Glaciers which once lived and moved are now dead and still. And the quiet testimony of these glaciers is not just a call for change, but a reminder to us all, we who are the stewards of creation, that we must alter our course. And to do so, we need to seek the Lord. We need to ask the question, where do we find God's glory? Is it in the pursuit of prophets, or is it in something that God ordained? The prophet Jeremiah addressed his words to the people of God, the house of Jacob, the house of Israel. And I don't think it's coincidence that the prime minister of Iceland, the one who spoke at that funeral for the glacier, is a woman whose name is Katrín Jakobsdóttir. Her last name, Jakobsdóttir, literally means Jacob's daughter. Jeremiah prophesies to the house of Jacob. And today the house of Jacob speaks to us. The plaque at the site of the Oak Glacier confesses to generations to come that yes, we were aware of what was happening, of what we were doing. We were not ignorant. Our prophets, they spoke loudly to us. But as the plaque says, only the future will know if we listened. Amen.